Thank you, Patrick. Well, good morning, everybody. We feeling good? We awake? We caffeined up? No? Patrick, I suppose you could say there are coffee and there is donuts. I mean, it would translate, but it'd be wrong. So you're right. You're right. Is and are. Uh-huh. Renee, what are you doing there? What's going on?
I'm getting my remote.
You
got to
set your phone down.
Sorry. No, it's the remote.
Yeah.
So when y'all see me playing with my phone, it's my remote.
Or Farmville. It's one of those.
No, it is not Farmville.
I'm
That's
kidding.
So old. Wow, you're old.
I know. That was years ago. You played
that
Farmville.
Was years ago. Okay, wait. I'm trying to get it to connect. It says it's connecting, and it says timed out. Hang on. We got to get it going. Y'all talk amongst yourselves.
Well, you have your handouts. Because
yes.
We're going to continue on where we left off last night. And really, after I sang those songs last night, after we told our testimony, once we got into the Flip This House teaching session, that was really the point in our life that Renee and I were saying, okay, what then? What now? We want change. We want, obviously, to move past that. And pick up now and things be different in our life, in our marriage, for protection, for blessing in our lives. So what, Lord? And he really made it very easy. He said, I'm right here, and I want to be close to you, and I want to be in your home. I don't want to just be the father that you see on Sundays when you attend a church service in a gathering, which is a great thing, and we should do that regularly. He said, I don't want to just be regulated to that. Mm-hmm. I want to be in your everyday life. I don't want that when you walk out of these doors, something in your mind switches a flip and, okay, now into regular life. I want to be in your regular life, is what he was saying. So these steps that we're laying out are simply steps to say, all right, Lord, well, I want to hear from you then, every day.
Right.
I don't want to crowd you out.
Yeah, and I think about when I'm just listening to you say that, and I'm thinking, you know, it's great when we call in the home inspector, when we ask God to examine our lives, when we ask him to speak to us and show us those things that need to be added and the things that need to go. But if we just ask him to do that, but we don't do anything with that knowledge that we receive or with that advice that we receive, we're going to end up back in that same rut again. And so this is the process of maintaining and flipping that home. You know, you come in and we shared with you last night about our testimony and what God illuminated. He put the light on. This is an area. It's got to be corrected. This is what I'm seeing in your lives. And so here's the path. And basically, guys, what I love about it is it is simple steps. Well, we say they're simple, man, you've got to be intentional every day to be diligent and follow these steps. But I'm telling you, the fruit that you will see from this in your life, in your home, in your marriage, it's just transforming. It's absolutely transforming. So, remote ready to go, house flip step number 2 on your listening guide there.
Check the foundation. Mm-hmm. So the first step, you called in the home inspector. You called in God and said, all right, show us what we don't know. Show us what needs to go, what needs to be added. Let us know what you found on your punch list. And the very first thing is, all right, check the foundation. What would you say is the foundation of your home? And try to put out of your mind, when I say home, a house, bricks, wood, foundation, an actual house. Think about your home. Think about your spouse. Think about your children. Maybe some of you, your grandchildren. Maybe some people in your sphere of influence, a niece or nephew that perhaps is not from a strong Christian home where you can be an influence in their life. Think about your family. What would you say, with you as the leader, is the foundation of your family? We're going to get to some of the foundations that we can look at wrongly in our life. And we'll get to that. Things that aren't even sinful, but things that we can place too high in our minds as this is what defines me. And with guys, a lot of it is what we do for a living. A lot of times that's kind of the foundation of what I am. Folks, God's unshakable word, His perfect word, his alive word, the Bible, mm-hmm. must be the foundation mm-hmm. of our homes.
Mm-hmm. I love this passage of scripture, Romans 15:4 here. It says, for everything that was written in the past was written in order to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might mm-hmm. have hope. Mm-hmm. Y'all know anybody needs some hope today? I do. I need hope today.
There's just a lot of homes out there and marriages that don't have that hope. Mm-hmm. That they feel like, man, this is just what it is. You know, this is who we are. Mm-hmm. It's not going to change. My spouse isn't going to change. Doesn't look like my kids are going to change anytime soon. They have no hope for moving forward and for seeing God truly disciple each person in their home and see people growing in Christ and seeing that progress. They've lost that hope. So Renee and I are just praying for hope today for everyone as we move forward. Hope and looking at the future, knowing God's going to be there, and I don't want to take my eyes off of him this whole journey with him. I want my family mm-hmm. to keep mm-hmm. improving and growing in him.
Last night in our testimony portion, we shared about how Chris Beatty, the vocal coach, asked Clay, what are you reading in God's Word? And one of the things that Chris did was he said, hey, our church is doing this 1 year, read through the Bible in a year program. And this was back before we even had the capability on our cell phones to do this, like the little paper handout sheets that we had. And he put that in Clay's hands. And we began going through that. We shared that with you last night. We began going through that as a family. And I was... from the time I was 3 years old, in church, and we would have our little offering envelope that would have the little boxes that you checked, brought my tithe to church, went to Sunday school, went to worship service, read my Bible each day. And I can remember seeing the little, boxes to check off each week and seeing it week after week, yet neglecting that box. Neglecting that, reading the Bible each day. As a little girl, I can remember seeing my grandfather sitting in his chair by the fireplace in the morning time and reading the Word of God and me being just a young, naive little girl asking him, Papa, like, what are you reading? And, haven't you read through the Bible before? And he was like, I try to read through the whole Bible every year, honey.
Yeah, as a child, you might have looked over at your grandfather reading his Bible and thought, it's not Sunday, we're not about to go to church. Why do you have that book out?
But I remember even then, my grandfather speaking truth and trying to pour some wisdom and some truth into my thick head, but him saying, baby girl, yes, I've read through it before. And I have read the same passages over and over, but God may be going to speak to me differently today about this particular passage than he did when I read it this last year. So I've got to be reading it every day to see what God wants to say to me. Here's what Clay and I have found also. We shared this last night about we had a lot of Bibles, weren't reading those, had a lot of TVs. Those were on all the time. So you had a Christian couple, and now this was, y'all, the year 1998. What I find so interesting, Clay, about our story is what we went through in our testimony, that hit us before really technology blew up with computer. We didn't even have a computer in our home back then. So we didn't have computers, cell phones that had the capability. So now there are even more distractions, more voices, more information coming into our homes, coming into our lives each day. Clay, what's the you said there, like how many images that our children see each? What
oh,
is
it's
that
in the thousands.
Number?
It's in the,
was it like
it's in the 10,000s.
30,000?
You know,
was it?
Of actual images mm-hmm. and messages that a
yes.
young person hears in a 24-hour period.
Yeah.
Sounds like a big number, but man, from what they're hearing at school, from someone saying something to them, from as fast as they go through their phones at the different messages, texts,
billboards, like
online.
Driving down yeah. the street that you see.
And as parents, we just need to get in on that number. We need to be, because our voice, whether they let on or not, our voice is more powerful in their life than any of those others. Now, they don't want to act like it, and they'll give you, you know, kids won't let on that it is, but you know that it is. So let's get in on that number of messages coming into our children's lives every day.
So it's important that we are pouring God's word in, that that's the message that's getting written on their hearts. Y'all take a look at this video. That's it right there. That's what it's about. What's written on your heart? Your words or God's words? So important that we are reading God's word each day. You know, I can remember during that season and reading to our children and going to Lifeway bookstore and the Christian bookstores and buying the little devotionals for our kids. And I can remember when we adopted Sophie, and she was a little bitty thing, and as she was growing up, and we would read to her each night, and she probably was about 3 or 4 when this happened. But, you know, sometimes moms and dads, y'all know how it is, when you get to the end of the day, and you're just thinking, Jesus, it's time for them to go to bed. Anybody? Come on. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And then they go to sleep, and you miss them. You know, you're like, oh. You just go and stare at them, you know, you're tired and you're thinking, I'm going to read them their bedtime story, a Bible story, and you start reading to them and they're standing on their head or they're playing with their stuffed animals or their trucks or they're singing a song and they're not paying attention to you or they're blowing bubbles or, you know, whatever they're doing, making obnoxious noises, y'all know, right? And you're thinking, why am I wasting my time? And there was this particular night, and I was tired, really tired. And I'm sharing a story with Sophie, and we're talking about Noah, and we're talking about the rainbow and God's promise and all of these things. And I'm thinking, well, all right, we did it. Let's go to bed now. And about a few hours later, it's still dark outside. I'm asleep. You know how when you're asleep, but you can feel somebody looking at you? And I opened my eyes, and there my little brown sugar was standing looking at me. And she looked at me with these big brown eyes, and she said, Mama. And, you know, as a mom, you're like, oh, you sick? What's wrong? Are you sick? No. And I said, well, what's wrong, baby girl? She said, the Lord will do what he says. He keeps his promises. She was listening. But then I'm thinking, it's 5 o'clock. Baby girl, go back to bed. He'll still do what he says when the sun comes up, all right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. But sweet, it's getting in there. Mamas, daddies, grandmas, grandpas, aunts and uncles, read God's word to your babies. There's power in it. It's truth. It's life.
Mm. Tools of the trade. They're in your handout. God's word is a hammer. Jeremiah 23:29. It's not my word like fire, Jeremiah. No, it declares the Lord. And like a hammer which shatters rock. Also, God's word is a lamp. Mm-hmm. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. All those years we weren't in his word. We walk around the dark, basically, according to this.
And I love this. Has anybody done the Priscilla Schreier Bible Study Armor of God? Has anybody done that one? We're doing that one at our women's Bible study right now. And she had this, I just learned about this just maybe it was 2 weeks ago in our Bible study. And I thought about this in relation to this passage of scripture here about God's word. And when she was telling this story in the video, it related to me because Clay and I experienced the same thing. Clay and I fly a lot. We travel a lot. And, you know, when you go to the airport now, you're met with the TSA agent. And he greets you there at the gate, or she greets you at the gate. And they have their little flashlight, and you walk up to them and you hand them your ticket and your identification card, your passport or your driver's license, whatever it may be, and they look at you and they look at that driver's license or passport picture. And then they look back up at you, like, you know, seeing if that's who you really are. Now, you know, you would think, okay, that picture, that looks like that person. But they take it one step further, don't they? What do they do? I don't know what the magic flashlight is, but there's something magic about it. But they take that light, and they run your identification under that light. And once they've examined that, and they're looking up again at you, and they look down at that, they let you through. And they've done a thorough examination, and they've put it through that light. And they know that you can pass through. And I was thinking about this morning as I was getting ready, and I thought, that scripture, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Folks, that's how we make decisions, by passing them under through the word of God. And if we're not in the word of God each day, we're missing the mark on decisions that we're making for our lives, how we're loving each other, how we're speaking to each other. It's vital. It's vital. And when we don't spend time in God's word, we miss. We miss, and we know it. We feel that. And so it's so important that we're following this. These are just some scriptures we wanted to share with you all about the importance of God's word here.
The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of souls and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible is alive.
Yes.
This past Sunday, our Sunday school teacher was discussing the word of God. And I love his style. It's very inclusive. He'll just open it up. So what do you think of the word? When you think of the word of God, and people had these different opinions, and not different opinions, but just different takes on when they hear those words, the word of God, the Bible. And a lot of times in Sunday school, I just listen, because I say enough when I'm out there leading worship, and I'm in front of everyone every week. So a lot of times in the smaller group, I'll let others talk. But I'm sitting there thinking, man, the word of God to me truly is alive. And what a lot of people said resonated with that when you read it one time, it speaks to you in a certain way. Maybe a couple of years later, you read that same passage and where you are at that point in your life, it speaks to you there. Because it is alive. And what I was thinking was, I'm just offended sometimes when I'll see a list of the greatest books of all time. And certainly they are great books. It'll list the great novels and works of all time. And they include the Bible in that. I'm thinking, you know, don't put the Bible next to War and Peace. Don't put the Bible next to, To Kill a Mockingbird. You know, because I like the great works of literature. The Bible, though, that's alive. And it's from our Creator, it's from our Savior to us.
I love that. That just sets up this next video so perfectly.
The Bible tells us these words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. No, they are words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed on the rock. And that passage that talks about rain and a river and a tornado, we know that's talking about the storms of life that each and every one of us will face. Adrian Rogers used to say, all of us are in one of three circumstances. You're either about to go into some sort of storm in your life. You want to think about it, but it's true. It's coming. Or you might be right in the middle of it right then. You know you are. I'm in the middle of this storm. Or you're just coming out of one. And Dr. Rogers was very encouraging. He wasn't trying to preach some doom and gloom message of how hard life is, but he was basically saying, look, we all face it across the board. And as believers, as children of God, we got to determine what our feet are fixed on. And his word is unshakable. And his word contains the promises that we cling to as his children. The perfect foundation. Now, I mentioned earlier that we can tend to replace him and his perfect word with other foundations in our life that we may think, well, this could keep me strong as well. And it's things that we call shoddy foundations. Shoddy foundations.
Hey, Clay, you just keep talking. I'm going to...
Oh, look at you.
I'm sorry.
She's refilling her Diet Pepsi because that cup was not big enough.
Y'all don't laugh. I brought a 2-liter with me. I have caffeine issues.
Is that a shoddy foundation in your life, Diet Pepsi?
It might be an issue. I'll pray about it.
Okay. She's going to do that, and I'm going to tell you that these shoddy foundations that are up here, we're reading them right now. We're all thinking, all right, I want all those things. That's not a sin. No, it's not a sin. These are blessings. When we experience these things, they are from the provider. But the problem with this list is if I just agree with the rest of the world and I just say, you know what? You give me enough of this list.
Yeah.
You give me enough of this, and I'll be just fine. We'll be just fine with or without this God you're talking about, with or without getting up on Sunday morning and carting my family off to church, with or without opening this ancient book you're talking about. No, I'm talking about a today book. I'm talking about his word currently in my life that's for me right now because he loves me. So this list is great. I want this. I want this for my children. I pray these things for my children. I think my Heavenly Father wants that for you and me. Financial security. Good health. Kids involved in things, you know, active in sports or dramas and making good grades and all that kind of stuff. Truly a Sunday smile. You show up for church and you got a smile on your face because things are good in your life. You're thankful. You know, there's nothing wrong necessarily with this list. But what's wrong with this list is when I put too much stock in it and I allow the Lord to be crowded out of my life.
Because, Clay, all of those things can change.
We know that.
Yes.
Every one of those. We know finances change.
Yes.
Job situations change. Health. Everyone in this room has gotten that phone call from someone that you love. Or you've received the news from your doctor to you about a situation that you're walking into health-wise that's frightening, that changes things.
Yes.
Our kids' accomplishments, you know, their grades. We kind of go around and around with one of ours, right, about their grades. Mm-hmm. By the way, the smartest one of the four. And we go around and around about his grades. I'll let you figure out who that is. I said his. We have one.
Wait, well, you just gave it away
IQ
there.
Highest IQ in the house. But anyway, our point is continue to make God's word absolutely, because it ain't
That's
shaking.
That's not what we're hanging our hat
it's
on.
It's not changing.
No.
His word
Mm-mm.
is
Mm-mm.
rock solid.
Mm-mm. I know we got to move on, but just this past November, we got the phone call from my dad, who's been the picture of perfect health his whole life, that he had gone in for his routine colonoscopy, and they found cancer, and huge cancer, like size of a grapefruit cancer, and they were doing emergency surgery the next day, and this move for our where we are now moved us away from our family. We're 7 hours away. And so I wanted to get to my daddy as fast as I could. And Clay called our pastor, our senior pastor, and he said, get in the car and go. Go. So we got there. And when we got there to that hospital, my dad, he said, he had this biggest smile on his face. He said, this is a win-win for me. It's a win-win for me. He said, no matter what, he said, whether God brings me through this here or God takes me home, it's a win-win. And I thought, that's my daddy knows his foundation. He is fixed to the rock. And whatever is coming our way, he's secure. And praise Jesus for that. Love this passage, this quote here that we have from, I taught a Bible study for women, James McDonald's Authentic here. The greatest student of Scripture in our church has not begun to plumb the depth of what's in God's Word. It can satisfy the greatest minds for a lifetime and beyond. And that's just truth there. That's just truth. On your handout, you've got some places there, just like last night, about the punch list. This is the same thing for the shoddy foundations there. Not to fill out now, maybe just to take with you to examine for your own life, just about some things that maybe you're putting too much emphasis on in your own life. And that's things that even we as Christians can do. You know, especially the season that we are now with our kids, two of our kids in college. You know, we've got friends and all that put so much emphasis on that ACT score and what college their kids are going to. And so they have that to hang on to, and not so much emphasis on maybe the spiritual side of getting those kids prepared to when they leave that house. So we've got to have them grounded in the Word of God so they take that with them. We've got some tips there on your handout as well, as far as when opening the Bible to ask these three questions. These are just some great suggestions that we've used throughout the years that we you want to read.
You know, when you're opening God's Word, mm-hmm. I just try to pray, Lord, show me something today. Yeah. You know, what is this really saying? Yep. What does it mean? Mm-hmm. And how does it apply to my life right now, 2016? Mm-hmm. Speak to me, Lord. Right now.
Yeah. And for us, I don't know about you guys. Again, we mentioned the one-year Bible plan on our phones. All of our kids and us have the, YouVersion, the app, YouVersion. And there are some great Bible apps. That's just the one that we use. But we do the one-year Bible plan on there. And it's just a daily reading. We read an Old Testament passage, a New Testament passage, a Psalms and a Proverbs every day. And it's what we enjoy doing is because we're all kind of going through that at the same time. And there's some accountability there. So when we're talking, we'd say, hey, did you read this today about, you know, the story of Joseph and where we are in that? And so if somebody's like, no, I'm still on, I'm back at Noah. And you're like, oh, well, brother, we got to get caught up on some reading, you know. So there's some accountability with our family that we can do with that. But again, however you do it, maybe it's through a devotional reading, something, just be in God's Word each day. Clay and I had a group of teenagers at our house last fall for D-Now. We had a big group of girls come and descend on our house. Lots of fun. It's always a crazy time. You don't sleep at all. It's lots of giggling and laughing and food.
How many high school girls stayed at our house one night or the whole weekend?
20, but then we had 70 one night. It was
because
people everywhere.
Long story, but they had a competition there among the classes, and the senior girls won one of these competitions, so they all won this like private party at our house. There was with the guy that came in and spoke, and he had an illusionist with him, so they did like a private showing at our house mm-hmm. with like 70 high school girls in our den. So you got to imagine it was
in a room that was about maybe half the size of the choir loft.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was crazy. But so anyways, we have a lot of fun. But there was one particular girl that came to D-Now that I'm telling you, I think if you walked up and you touch her, just Jesus just comes out. Just she just exudes Jesus. This chick, 16 years old, she's so on fire for the Lord. And I'm thinking, I want whatever she's got. You know, I'm thinking, I'm a 45-year-old woman, and this 16-year-old girl is challenging me to be closer to Christ. And as she was sharing with our girls, because each one of the girls got to go around and share a little bit about herself, about themselves, she was talking about her daily reading. And this is what she said. She said, "The Lord has challenged me that I don't need to let my feet hit the floor before I open the Word of God." And that's what I do, sweet sisters in Christ. That's what she said to this group. And I'm thinking, you know, oh, that's so sweet. She's challenging all these young girls to, before they even get out of bed and go into high school each day, they've got to read the Bible before they get out of bed. That's so sweet for them. And God's saying, what about you? I'm thinking, well, she's talking to them. And he's like, you in the room. And so I'm like, oh, wow, I heard that too. I heard that too. What am I going to do with that? And since last August, y'all, and I'm not saying that, so pat me on the back, but I felt like I couldn't hear that and ignore that. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I couldn't hear it and ignore it because God is waking me up now about an hour before my alarm is even supposed to go off. And I get my little phone out, and instead of checking my Facebook, and y'all, I want to check Facebook, but I don't touch it. I go to that YouVersion app first, and I know that God, oh, he's doing something in my life, and it makes a difference in my life that I'm doing that first. And I know people say, well, I can't do that in the morning. I do it at noon on my lunch break or in the evening. Whatever your time is, but I'm saying that girl, that 16-year-old girl, planted that seed in my heart, and I'm thankful to God for it, and I want to keep that up. I want to keep that up. All right, so we're going
to
move on.
Now in your listening guides, moving on to the next house flip step, number 3, check the roof. You've checked the foundation. Check the roof. Cover your home in prayer. We've heard the expression to cover something in prayer. Yep. Someone makes a prayer request and they said, would you cover this in prayer? Something that's important to them, mm-hmm. that they ask you to cover that in prayer. Well, our families, you, Renee, and our children, yep. have to be important enough to me to cover y'all in prayer, mm-hmm. and to grab y'all at any time, hey, let's pray about this. Mm-hmm. We need to be more intentional about that. I'm admitting we do, mm-hmm. throughout the day. You know, last night I just blurted out after our recommitment to Christ back in the late 90s, just how fresh it was and on fire. And I said, man, I want that again. One of the things that would happen back then was that we would just pray at any time. I'd walk in and just grab y'all. Mm-hmm. And remember at first the girls were like, oh, what's going on? Is something wrong? Yeah. Is somebody sick? Did somebody die? Mm-hmm. We're not about to eat. Mm-hmm. Why? Mm-hmm. And after a while it became normal. Okay. And they would just stop. Maybe they were about to run out the door, and I would, come here, let's pray.
Yeah.
It became a normal thing, and
that's
what it should be. It should be a normal thing.
Right. I love that. It's true. And so while it should be a normal thing, what we found is we also have an enemy who don't want that a normal thing. Did y'all know that? He doesn't want us praying, and he wants to plant little things in our head like, your prayers don't sound like the preacher's prayer, so you don't pray right.
There's that, and there's also, you know what? Maybe you had a fight that morning. You had a disagreement, a loving disagreement.
We're not going to tell them about that, are
and
we?
And something unkind was said, maybe. And then later it's like, oh, you want to pray with me now? The same mouth that you said that to me earlier.
Oh.
That, or you're the one you knew you said something and you're self-conscious about it, and you're like,
yeah.
Oh, maybe we'll just... I'll pray with her another day, not today. We'll just let today go by. Mm. She didn't want, it's that kind of stuff.
Yes.
And I agree, Renee,
mm-hmm.
that the enemy's involved. I'm definitely not a devil-made-me-do-it type of thinker about things, but he's involved, and he does not want us praying.
Yeah.
He wants God out of our home, basically. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. So understand that. We used to think it was just an us problem. Man, having a hard time praying together. You know, we know each other so well. Mm-hmm. You know, we're intimate. We can talk about anything. So why, when it came to praying, was it like a little uncomfortable vibe sometimes? Mm-hmm. And then we talked to people all around the country at these events where we speak. There's us too, they would say. There's a common enemy that wants us crowding God out of our homes.
Yeah, that's true. God in his word says, pray to me and I will listen. It's a promise. Again, how do we know what God is saying to us? It's by being in the word. And he says, pray to me and I will listen. It's easy.
Not that we text God, but it is that easy. He is that approachable to use real language with him about what you're going through in your life. Understand that. Also understand this. We've all heard that old expression, the couple that prays together stays together. And that is not just a catchy phrase. It's the truth. We know the divorce rate in our world is around 50%. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy in our world. But look at this. Of couples who worship together each Sunday. Let me clarify the word together. That's getting up on a Sunday morning. Mom and dad, getting the kids ready. Hopefully more peacefully than the video we showed last night.
I mean, with the kids' shoes on or off or...
getting them ready. Fed, teeth brushed, hair combed, in the car, down the street, making that effort to have your family in church worshiping together each Sunday. That divorce rate is 1 in 30. Please see that. Because I hear all the time that divorce rate's 50%, and that's what it is in the church too. It's not true of couples that worship together and make. It's true in homes where maybe one parent drags the kids and the other parent probably doesn't go. It's not important to them. There's not an agreement there. There's not unity. Well, yeah, there's divorce in those homes. But if families that are committed, we're going to be in church together. Divorce rate's 1 in 30. But check this out. Of couples who not only worship together each week, but pray together in their homes on a regular basis. That's breaking through that uncomfortable vibe we talked about of, what do they think? Or, man, I don't just feel like this today, so I'll just avoid it. You break through that vibe and pray together on a regular basis. There's protection in that home. There's protection. Divorce rate's 3% or 1.
It's 0.3. It's point. My little point
you need
didn't
to move
carry
your point.
Over. I need
point
to move that point. Yes.
1 in 300.
Yes.
There's great protection in that. Please.
Yes.
Please understand that. Yes. And understand that we said, hey, we meet people all over the country, and yeah, we feel uncomfortable about praying together. Mm-hmm. So it's not a you thing. It's just, it's the battle that we're in.
Yeah.
That we got to break through. I encourage that for you today.
Mm-hmm. Love this quote by Corey Ten Boom here. Y'all know who Corey Ten Boom is, right? When a Christian shuns fellowship with other Christians, the devil smiles. When he stops studying the Bible, the devil laughs. When he stops praying, the devil shouts for joy. You know, in my family, growing up, my mother, I would have to say, was the one that was always taking us to church. My dad worked some second jobs on the weekend and liked to hunt and fish. And he wasn't always in the church house with us. So my mom was the one that was kind of taking us to church on her own, was always faithful. There wasn't a question on Saturday night of, are we going to go to church on Sunday morning? We were going to church. We knew where we were going. And y'all, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. Growing up, though, I used to hear my mother pray, but I had never heard my father pray. So it's been years now, probably about 10, 12 years ago now. We had sat down for Thanksgiving dinner with my mother and dad, and we were about to begin Thanksgiving dinner, and Clay was going to pray, and And my mother said, "Wait." And I'm thinking, we left the sweet potato casserole in the, you know, oven or something. Like, wait, well, hold up now. And my daddy stood up. I'm thinking, hey, now, what's going on? And I wish y'all could, I should have a picture of my daddy. Because he's this Grizzly Adams looking kind of dude, you know. He's always done carpentry, and he's just farmer guy, and just strong, and just this rock of a man. And he stood up, and with his eyes filled with tears, he said, "Y'all pray with me." And I'm already starting, you know, to cry. And my daddy prayed a prayer something like this: "God, we thank you for this food, your provision for our family. We thank you for our time together, but most of all, we thank you for Jesus and how he saved us. Amen." It wasn't some elaborate prayer with lots of flowery words, but it was just a simple man talking to God. And y'all, I'm telling you what, I start crying, my sister's crying, my mama's crying, my daddy's crying, it's snot bubble crying at the Thanksgiving table, you know, it's good stuff. First time I'd ever heard my daddy pray, and I'm thinking, oh, this is awesome. But y'all, it got even better. So my mother says this, she said, "Clay and Renee, we've heard your testimony. We read the book. We've seen what God has done in your life and the life of our grandchildren. And God's doing that work in our marriage. And now, Daddy and I are praying together each day, just at night before we go to bed. And I pray out loud one night, and then the next night, Daddy prays out loud." And y'all, I've seen the Almighty God transform my daddy's life, somebody that was rarely in the church house, to somebody now that's always in the church house, that built the youth community center in their little small town of Tipplersville, Mississippi. I know y'all been there, right? Just between Walnut and Ripley. And but this small little community, he's the one that spearheaded that. And no, he's not going to be the one teaching the Sunday school lesson or preaching a sermon, but he's serving the Lord with the gifts that the good Lord gave him. And that's what it's about right there. God transforming a life, bringing him closer. Y'all, God allowed what he allowed in mine and Clay's life and marriage to bring us closer together, to bring my mama and my daddy closer together and closer to him. And so we could come here and share that same message for y'all too. That it don't matter if you've been married 8 years like it was for us in 1998, or whether it was my parents that had been married 45 years, that he stands ready to do such a powerful work and draw us each closer to him today.
I love that story about your dad, because it really started for him in a humbling moment of saying, "I'll pray right now with my family."
Yes.
And we'd really never heard him pray. Could have easily just said, "Clay, would you bless the meal?"
Yeah.
That's normally what we did, and no one thinks a thing about it. Mm-hmm. When he stood up that day and did that, there was great power in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Into the ears of you and your sister Jennifer.
Yes.
And your mom. And all of us, really, but you guys particularly,
absolutely,
for you to hear that.
Absolutely.
New sound.
Yes.
Coming from your dad.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And he broke through that uncomfortable, because it probably was uncomfortable for him in that moment to mm-hmm. say, "Well, I'll pray," because that was a new thing.
Yeah.
There's great power in it. And that's the simple third step that we wanted to lay out for you about covering your home, your family, mm-hmm. your life mm-hmm. in prayer.
Yeah.
We want you to know this story we're telling, these steps, it's about victory. It's about moving into a closer relationship with Him. And it's what God blessed us with, what He continues to bless us with while we're here right now to share that with you, for you and your family. Now, right now, we're excited about these breakout sessions. Mm-hmm. You're going to keep the ladies in here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take the fellas. Where are we headed, Patrick?
To the chapel.
To the chapel. Uh-huh. Everybody knows where that is. So I'll just follow.
Follow the herd.
I think I looked in there last night.
Yeah.
Was that the sanctuary at one point? Never was, because it looks like a fine sanctuary itself. Smaller, but I thought, I bet this used to be the sanctuary, and then they built this one day. No, it wasn't?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right.
Like that too.
Well, we will be in the chapel, fellas, so I will see you over there. And then after these breakout sessions, we'll probably let everybody stretch their legs for a little while before we come in for the final session.
Okay.
But all right. Patrick, you got anything? I keep looking for you. Where are you at?
Up here.
Anything, any directions? All right. So we'll see you over there, fellas. Ladies, stay in here.